right, welcome back. Changing gears this hour with Mitch Henderson is back to do a worldview update. But obviously the big story here has to do with the massacre at the concert hall near Moscow. Well, it's in downtown urban Moscow. And the fact that the killers, four of them, they have now apparently arrested another person. That makes eight in addition to the four. That's 12. And I can almost guarantee you they have already extracted most of everything from those that they have arrested. They've got many, many ways, and they're not going to play games. They've got it out of them. Now, they were headed where? To safety and sanctuary in Ukraine. There is a Ukraine component to this. Anybody with a brain knows it. And if there's a Ukrainian component to it, that means there's a UK and US component in it. And in my opinion, right now, honestly, the Russians have every right to countermand this kind of a slaughter, a massacre, with a nuclear attack on a target. I would say, as I've said before many dozens of times, give Kiev 36 hours to evacuate and then level it. Done. And then you say, have you had enough? You ready to stop this bullshit? If they don't, Kharkov, you have 36 hours. And then if that doesn't work, Odessa, you have 36 hours to vacate, then level the city. Level it. That's how you end the war. This thing that's going on now is suspiciously dragging on. It's very strange. I understand there are laboratory aspects of this that are being used to test new weapon systems and all. I get that. But this is ridiculous. Putin has seen the loss of, the figure I saw was at least 45,000 young Russian soldiers' lives. We know that it's about 1 million on the Ukrainian side of the ledger. And that's Zelensky's Zionist Jewish burnt offering, human sacrifice. That's what that is. They're all Christians. And so he's annihilating Christians. We can see this very clearly. Anyway, I'm very interested to hear what Mitch will have to say about this. Welcome back, my friend. Thanks for being here.
Good to be back. Now you figured out what I was going to talk about tonight, huh?
It was awfully hard. I struggled through.
It's the biggest thing in the news, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk tonight about truth and clarity, okay? Because that's what that's what's happening in the world now. All this prolonged stuff is actually it's actually kind of bad for the people in power because it's giving people to see the chance, see the truth about right. What's going on.
Yes, sir.
But I think this is also a religious component because revelation means reveal. It's the revelation of the truth.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's what it's all about. Okay. So no government in history has ever suppressed lies. It is the truth that threatens those in power, not lies. When the government labels something as misinformation or disinformation, those things are probably the truth. No government has ever existed that was a beacon of truth and clarity. The government either uses religion to add credibility to their lies or attacks religion when it exposes their lies, which is what's going on now. In war, you can look at the enemy's lies, called counterintelligence, deception operations, to determine their intentions or their plans, okay? The truth clarifies things. Lies obscure things. The truth is usually straightforward. Lies are confusing. Counterintelligence is the art of creating confusion. Voltaire posited that you could tell who rules you by who you are not allowed to criticize.
This
directly implies that those in power suppress the truth, as it always has. Who can you criticize? God, Christ, Christians, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Founding Fathers, America, white people. Who are you forbidden to criticize? Jews and Israel. In Genesis 4:12, it reveals the curse of Cain. You will be a homeless wanderer on the earth. Jews are the children of Cain. Like Cain, they are envious murderers. Like Cain, they have no land to call home. They stole another people's land, and they are still murdering them. This is Palestine and the godless Sodomite counterfeit state of Israel. This is just simply and clearly the truth. It's not up for debate. It just is, okay? This is what the awakening is. The revelation is exposing Israel and the Jews as the Antichrist and the children of Cain, okay? The U.S. government tells you that Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea take peace away from the world and want to take other nations' territory from them. The only truly offensive weapon is the aircraft carrier. They are built to project power. The United States has 11 aircraft carriers. Only 8 other nations have them, and their total is 10 altogether. Do the math. Only one nation is capable of projecting power anywhere in the world, the United States. Russia has only one, and China has 2. Russia and China have constructed their military around internal lines of communication. Only the United States has a military constructed around establishing external lines of communication. We're it. We're the only aggressor nations on Earth. We're it. And you can tell by our weapon systems that we are it. Okay? How many military bases does Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea have around the United States? Exactly none. How many does the United States have around Russia? We have them on their eastern and western and southern borders. How many bases does the United States have around China? We have the entire first and second island chains in the Pacific fortified, and we have naval fleets off their east and south coasts. How many bases do we have around North Korea? We have them along their southern border. How many bases do we have around Iran? We have 3 major bases within 100 miles of Iran. Who is threatened militarily? The United States or the rest of the world? It is obvious, but you would never know it if you asked the U.S. government. They keep saying that it is us and our allies that are being threatened. This is an obvious lie. We accuse Russia of illegally invading Ukraine in 2022 without UN approval. Russia said that they had to do it to defend their nation. In 1999, the United States invaded and occupied a part of Serbia without UN approval and broke Kosovo away from Serbia. Serbia is 5,574 miles away from the United States. How did Serbia in any way threaten the United States? In 2003, the United States invaded and occupied Iraq under a false pretense and without UN approval. Iraq is 6,915 miles away from the United States. How did Iraq in any way threaten the United States? In 2014, the United States invaded and occupied northeastern Syria without UN approval. Syria is 6,677 miles from the United States. How did Syria in any way threaten the United States? In 2022, Russia invaded and occupied part of Ukraine without UN approval. Ukraine is right next door to Russia. There is no comparison. So why the very hypocritical double standards on judging Russia's behavior?
Ukraine used to be Russia for a long time in history.
Yes,
all of that land.
Yeah. So Russia does not want war with NATO. The truth is that NATO wants war with Russia. Russia does not want any NATO nation to fail and break up. The United States and several nations, NATO nations are open and specific about Russia failing and breaking apart to several sissy sodomite states. Russia would like to do business with a flourishing European economy, and it's American sanctions that is directly destroying European economies, not Russia. The United States and their sanction is destroying European economies. It's very clear that the United States wants to control and dictate to the world. It's very clear that we are the aggressor and the bully of the world. Why can't we respect other nations and leave them alone? As a matter of fact, today the EU Foreign Commissioner, Joseph Borrell, said that the Ukraine war is all about America wanting to be a world power. He just came out and said that. Okay, so they know.
You know, you said America is the bully and the aggressor. I would say that
yes.
You're absolutely right. However, I would say We are far worse than that, far worse on the planet. I think that was a very, very diplomatic way to phrase it. This country is the great Satan, no question now.
Yes.
None.
Yeah, well, we are. It's that is truth and clarity right there. We are.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
So we accuse China of imperial designs and for bullying its neighbors. This is all tied to territorial disputes on its borders and the nearby seas. In fact, China has settled land disputes with Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Laos, Mongolia, Myanmar, Nepal, North Korea, Russia, and Tajikistan, with those nations coming out ahead. China also settled land disputes with Pakistan, where China came out ahead. But to be fair, those territories were more accessible to China than Pakistan because of the mountain ranges.
Right,
China
right.
still has land disputes with Bhutan, India, Japan, Taiwan, and Vietnam. You will notice that China amicably solved land disputes with 10 nations, but has not with 5 nations. The 5 nations most aligned with the United States, it has not solved its land disputes for. It's the United States that keeps China from solving these disputes. We will not let it happen. It is obviously looks like the United States is the barrier to peace with China.
Oh, in so many places around the world. It's so sad because it's, for all of you listening here in the U.S., you wouldn't be listening to this program if you weren't obviously aware that we've been overthrown long ago. It's the same people, and they're using our name and our money to create nothing but hell on Earth. We're not the only bad guy, but we are. I don't know anybody who's got more clout than we do in terms of being bad. This is really ugly stuff where this regime is doing that is running our nation into the ground. Go ahead,
Mitch. Right. So Iran is a threat to Israel, not to the United States. Iran is 7,153 miles away from the United States. We are the only major threat to Iran. North Korea is a threat to South Korea, not to the United States. North Korea is 6,190 miles away from the United States. The United States is the only threat to North Korea. The United States is the only threat to world peace. The World Economic Forum knows this. That is why there will be a civil war in America, and America will start World War III. The United States is the incubator for the extermination of humanity. I love my country and my people, but I do not love the Zionist sodomite Marxists that have hijacked my country to destroy and enslave humanity. The Zionist sodomite Marxists are the Antichrist, and it is my highest duty to be against them and their satanic designs. This is both truth and clarity. You
Amen
must pick
that.
A side.
You bet. You bet.
Our government tells us Russian technology.
Mitch, I said,
go ahead.
I said earlier, we really need to stop playing this two-party system, this game. The two movements, the two, political segments of this society really should be called the Patriot Movement and the Communist Movement. We just have to separate it. We got to call it like it is. You're either a patriot and a constitutionalist, or you're a communist. Forget
yes.
this Democrat Republican garbage.
Yeah,
I think it's those days are over.
Nonsense.
Go ahead.
So our government tells us that Russian technology. I'm talking about lies here. Our government tells us that our Russian technology is shoddy and ours is the best. If that is so, why did we have to hitch a ride on the Russian Soyuz rockets to get to the International Space Station?
Still doing it.
Russia has supersonic ICBMs that we cannot shoot down, and we have exactly none. Why can Russia's X-400 blow our ICBMs out of the sky, but we have nothing that will for sure shoot down any of their old ICBMs? Not even the new hypersonic ones. We can't shoot the old ones down.
And don't forget, the last ICBMs built in the formerly United States of America were built in the 1970s. They're ancient, like Model A's. is a joke.
Yeah. So really, we're technologically ahead of the Russians? I do not think so. Russia is not plagued by Marxist DEI hiring and promotion policy, the very policy that makes Boeing aircraft fall apart in the sky, okay? Our government does this so that we don't worry when they provoke Russia into a thermonuclear war. But look at them, on one hand saying that Russia is a mortal threat to NATO, and on the other saying that their technology is obsolescent. Let's now move to current events. Who did the attack on Moscow this past weekend? I wanted to preface this with what I said before so that people can be clear who the liar is, okay? So we have to go back to 2012, and I'm going to be very careful about this because I want this documented. I want this to be clearly understood that this is not theory, that this is documented proof, okay? So we have to go back to 2012 and the attack on Benghazi. Several events took place before the attack. On September 11th, a ship named the Al-Insar departed Benghazi with a hold full of weapons that the CIA had bought from the Libyan rebels. Just before the attack, Ambassador Christopher Stevens met with the Turkish Consul General Ali Said Amin to negotiate the next shipment. Uh-huh. On Turkey's side, the Turkish National Intelligence Organization, called MIT, coordinated with al-Nusra Front and ISIS. MIT worked with the CIA and the Mossad to create ISIS. The Turk MIT was on the ground creating them. Turk MIT agents were captured with ISIS, and Turk MIT agents were found killed in action with ISIS fighters. Sources on this narrative are many. The red Line and the Rat Line by Seymour Hersh, April 17, 2014, London Review of Books. Next one. Was Syrian weapons shipment a factor in Ambassador's Benghazi visit? By Pamela Brown and Catherine Herridge, October 25, 2012, Fox News. Next one. CIA negotiates smuggling weapon in Benghazi when consulate was attacked by Damian McElroy. April 10th, 2018, Wayback Machine, The Telegraph, which is a British newspaper. The real solid evidence came when Turkish Army officers and journalists caught a Turkish MIT shipment red-handed on its way to ISIS in 2014. This was reported by Reuters on May 21st, 2015, and by The Guardian on May 27th, 2015. The Turkish newspaper Cumhuriyet published a video of it also. We can know it was true because the 27 Turkish military personnel and journalists were convicted of espionage by the Turkish government and given 20-year sentences. They don't give you a sentence if you're telling a bogus lie. You get a 20-year sentence for espionage for telling the truth. Okay. Egyptian intelligence provided satellite images of Turks supplying weapons to ISIS. I'm documenting the sources on this so that you will know that ISIS is a creation of the CIA, Mossad, and the Turkish MIT. The Turkish MIT were the front men for this operation. The purpose of ISIS was to destabilize Iraq and Syria so that American and allied forces could go back in, and to destabilize North Africa to give us pretext to send troops to that region. We used ISIS in Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan to destabilize those countries also. I think we have clearly established that ISIS does the bidding of the CIA and Mossad. Now, as I tell you about ISIS's two most recent attacks, put on your detective hat and think. On January 3rd, 2024, ISIS set off a bomb in Kerman, Iran, killing 94 people. On March 21st, 2024, ISIS attacked a concert in Moscow, killing 137 people. If you look up both attacks now on the internet, yeah, in both cases, the United States said that they warned Iran and Russia about the attacks. In Russia, the U.S. Embassy even told American citizens not to go to concerts. The Wall Street Journal reported this on their front pages both times. Okay, how did the United States know that these attacks were going to happen? because we made them happen, okay? The central jihad against the West is now in the Gaza Strip. Would any self-respecting jihadists sacrifice their lives to attack Israel's enemies? At a time when Iran is helping their co-religionists in the Gaza Strip and supporting the Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas against the Zionist entity, why would they attack Iran? Iran knows who attacked them. The United States did. The United States is a puppet of Israel. Iran is Israel's enemy number one. Russia refuses to condemn Hamas. Russia is currently America's enemy number one. Why would an Islamist terror group attack Russia? They did it for the United States. ISIS is clearly a CIA asset. This terror operation was run by Ukraine. The terrorists were paid $5,600 each. They confessed that they did it for the money. The CIA assisted. Israel instigated. Just tell me in what universe an Islamic terrorist group would be attacking the allies of Hamas while Palestinians were suffering a genocide. ISIS is America. ISIS is Israel. After Israel got its independence from Britain, the initial name for the Mossad and Shin Bet was the Israeli Security and Intelligence Service, ISIS. Why would the United States do this to Russia, slaughter 137 innocent civilians? Well, Russia knows we did it. The Russian people know we did it. It is revenge for a Ukraine policy failure. Just like the ISIS attack on Carmen, Iran was revenge for October 7th. It is to make the Russians hate us so much that they would have no qualms about launching a nuclear war on us. The pedophile Biden regime supports these attacks to make people hate us. This is truth and clarity. The pedophile Biden regime just murdered 137 civilians in cold blood. If they can do it to them, they can do it to you. These people are monsters. When will people wake up and see it? The United States wants a war with Russia, and they don't care how many of us have to get hurt in the process.
No.
Okay? You know, this is 2024, people. People don't travel across borders without there being a tracking, a centralized tracking of where they go. These murderers, okay, the people that planned this and set it up, came through the European Union, through Austria, through Ukraine, organized everything in Ukraine, moved across the border, and made it happen. These killers were headed back to Ukraine. The United States says no, but they all went to Bryansk, right on the Ukrainian border, to get away. Okay? Who are you going to listen to? You know, I mean,
there's no question about any of this.
Listen to your common sense. Don't listen to what they tell you.
Disgusting.
So Putin has said that there will be retribution for this attack, including all government officials involved. Read in between the lines here. Putin is not interested in killing Ukrainian, American, and Israeli citizens. He wants to kill those responsible. This does not mean just the deaths of some CIA, SVU, or Mossad agents. This means those responsible, like CIA Director William Burns, Deputy Director David Cohen, who is Jewish, CIA General Counsel Kate Heinzelman, who is Jewish, and Deputy Director for Operations David Marlowe, and Israel Mossad Chief David Barnea, and members of the Caesarea and Kidon units. Those are small units, okay? It's not that many people. They can be hunted down. In Ukraine, SBU Chief Vasily Malyuk, SZRU Chief, and this is their Foreign Intelligence Bureau, Valery Kondratyuk, and their boss, Vladimir Zelensky. Because you see, the SVU, they answer directly to Zelensky. They don't do anything that he does not want them to do. He is directly responsible for the murder of 137 people.
If I might encourage all of you to look at I've got four Rents videos at the top of the homepage. Look at the top left. It's a Jewish insider running his mouth explaining how the Jews own and control Russia and Putin. It's very interesting, and as far as I can tell, in all the decades I've been studying this, it's right on the money. Take a look at that video if you haven't seen it. Right at the top of the homepage on the left.
They run both sides of everything. They run
yes,
all
they
of
do.
It,
of
both
course.
Sides.
Yes.
They're in control, okay?
Yep.
So the last thing I want to mention is I just want to call to everybody's attention something that the U.S. press does, and I mean it's sort of unmistakable, okay? You can see them actually doing it. Okay, so this is a pattern in our media. If a horrendous crime occurs and they do not immediately identify the perpetrator as a white person, then the perpetrator is a person of color. After the Kansas City mass shooting, the news would not identify the shooters even though they were already in custody. Ann Coulter was on the Bill Maher show, and Bill Maher said that they did not know the race of the shooters. And Coulter butted in and said, yes, we do. If they are not white, they will not say the race right away. So we know that they are black. Mayor said, well, we officially do not know, to which Mayor said, except for you, you have special powers. The other guests were making condescending smirks at Coulter. The next day, it was revealed that the shooters were black. Okay. So a few days ago, some squatters in New York City murdered an elderly Russian woman and stuffed her body in a duffel bag. The news refused to say the rest of the perpetrators while they were looking for them. Even after the murders were arrested Saturday, they would not say their race. Finally, Sunday morning, they showed the pictures of the black murderers, Haley Tejada and Kinsley Alston. Then our government says they do not understand why we do not trust what the mainstream media says. They lie to us. They misdirect us. They do not want to tell us the truth. So why should we believe them? Why should we believe anything they say? I implore you, don't believe anything they say. Anything. If the COVID pandemic did not convince you that this government lies to you about the most vital and important things in your life, I don't know what will convince you that they lie to you.
No, there's nothing. These people who don't get it by now, Mitch, they're out of the game. Sorry. Most of them. They're not going to come back. That's my take.
I think so. So now what I want to do is I'm going to, every week or so, I want to keep on going, just telling people what to do to survive, because the stuff is coming. The Civil War is coming. World War III is coming. You need to start getting ready. You need to start, thinking about what you're going to do. You need to understand what you have to do. So I'm going to start now with how
to before you start, Mitch, hold on, please. Yes. I got an email here.
Okay.
Jeff, please ask Mitch if 5,000 rounds of ammunition is a good place to be or a good place to start. And I have 223 rifle and 9mm pistol. Those two calibers I'm trying to stay with, so I don't get six or seven different calibers. What do you think of that? 5,000 rounds of each?
That's a good idea. If you're rural, 5,000 rounds is good. If you're in the city, you need as much as you can get. Okay, because in the city, there's a lot more people. There'll be a lot more shooting going on in the city. Okay,
got it.
I would say in the city, you need a minimum of 5,000 rounds.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. And I know you might think that once everything breaks bad, well, you can find ammo to take from other people. But listen, if there's a civil war going on, the most valuable commodity will be ammunition. So it's not going to be easy to come by.
It'd be like money. Sure.
Yes, it'd be like gold.
All right, here's another one. What about shotguns, Jeff? Please ask Mitch if a defending shotgun is better to be, well, and oh, what he's saying is, I'll translate it, is 20 gauge as good as 12 gauge to keep the women in the game so they don't get knocked on their asses? 20 gauge, is that a good round for defense? It's got the same velocity as 12, doesn't have as many.
Yeah, listen, for females, a 20-gauge shotgun is appropriate for females.
Got it. And there's quite a bit of 20-gauge ammo around, 12 and 20, yeah, but 12 is obviously dominant. But okay, thank you.
Even rolling out here, I suggested that the women get 20-gauge shotguns and stuff. Okay.
Very good. Yeah.
So because you want them to practice a little bit with it, and if it's going to hurt them, they won't practice with it. So you want something that they will practice with.
Good advice. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so camouflage in the city. If you can be seen, you can be hit. Your personal camouflage in the city should be browns, tans, or grays. Evaluate your city to see which is best. Vehicles should be solid, dull, and dark, and they should always be parked in the shadows. It is best if you also keep the shadows as much you should keep to the shadows as much as possible. Do not have any shiny objects on you, and remember, noise camouflage. Make sure your equipment does not make noise as you move. Try not to stand out. Try not to stand out by sight, by sound, or by smell. Don't use cologne or aftershave. If you smell like they do, they won't notice you. To survive city fighting, cover and concealment must be supplemented with camouflage. To properly camouflage people, vehicles, and equipment, study your surroundings. Make positions look like the surrounding terrain. If there is no damage to buildings, do not make loopholes for firing ports. They will stick out and give your position away. If the area has no bricks laying around from blown-up streets, do not use explosives to create materials for camouflage, cover, or concealment. Use only the material needed. Excess material can reveal your position. Collect material from a wide area. For example, if defending a park, use all of the park for resources. Do not denude a small area near your position for camouflage material. This makes your position stand out. Buildings provide numerous concealed positions. Thick masonry, stone, or brick walls offer protection from direct fire and provide concealed route of movement. Cement block walls and wood frame houses can conceal you, but they are not good for cover. They don't stop bullets. When you are firing from your position, the
even
muzzle of
Mitch,
your
hold right, on. Mitch.
Yeah, yes.
Cinder block walls will not stop a bullet. Okay, I can see that. If it's a 223 or a 556, but if it's grouted with concrete and rebar, it should be pretty damn tough, no? If it's grouted with concrete?
Well, yes. Yes, it is. But if you look at, if you look at most walls, listen, builders build on the cheap. So,
they're not grouted.
Like
I understand.
I bought a house with a cinder block wall around it, but, you could go up and push the wall over. Okay, there was nothing, no rebar, no cement down in the holes and stuff, okay? So right. It was just very quickly laid out and stuff, and if you tried to crawl on it, it would crumble, okay? And if you just take a cinder block and take a 9mm pistol, the bullet will go right through the cinder block. So, if it's not reinforced with concrete, then it's not cover. It won't stop
okay,
bullets.
Very good, okay? Very good.
So when you're firing from your position, the muzzle of your rifle will kick up dust and give your position away. Put a wet towel or cloth down on the ground near the front of the rifle to prevent this from happening. After camouflage is completed, inspect your position from the enemy's point of view. Conduct routine checks to see if the camouflage remains natural-looking and if it actually conceals your position. If it does not look natural, rearrange it or replace it. Conversely, you can make obvious positions as decoys. Keep that in mind. Your position must be progressively camouflaged as you prepare them. Work should not stop until all camouflage is complete. When the enemy has air superiority, work may only be possible at night. Shiny or light-covered objects which attract attention from the air must not be left lying about. Fires must not be lit where there is a chance that the flame could be seen by the enemy. Conversely, you can put some dummies on the ground and made to appear as if people are sleeping and build a fire as a decoy to lure the enemy into a kill box, okay? While in a threatened environment, do not take your shirts off when you are working. Skin is very reflective and stands out. It will attract the enemy's attention.
Right.
Use camouflage face paint in the city. If you have none, burnt cork, charcoal, or lampblack can be used. Use mud only as a last resort because it dries too fast and there are harmful bacteria in mud. Buildings in urban areas throw sharp shadows. Use shadows to help conceal your position and your movement. Avoid areas that are not in the shadows. Positions that are well inside buildings provide even more concealment. Avoid the lighted area around windows, doorways, and loopholes. You will be more concealed if you shoot from the shadowed interior of a room. Curtains provide additional concealment if you are inside a room, but only if curtains are common to the area. Otherwise, a curtain will give your position away. Once again, if curtains are not common in the area, you can hang one in a decoy room so that you can lull your opponent into coming within sight and range of you. Also in the city, there are plenty of underground places to use for movement, cover, and concealment. You can have light underground without attracting attention. However, if you camp underground, always make sure that you have escape routes. Pay attention to your background and make sure that you are not silhouetting yourself. Make sure that you do not skyline yourself either. You always want to blend into your environment, not stand out in any way. Use this to your advantage. What if there is an enemy out there that you can't see? Make a dummy and skyline or silhouette it somewhere away from you. When an enemy shoots at it, they will announce their presence, give away their position, or even come in out into the open. Setting up things for your enemy to shoot are like tripwires in the wild. They can act as alarms, letting you know someone is nearby. If they just shoot a target or have opportunity like that, they are certainly not friendly, and they certainly do not mean you well. In summary, these are the basic rules of cover, concealment, and camouflage in the city. Use the urban terrain and alter camouflage habits to suit your surroundings. Do not forget deceptive camouflage of buildings. Continue to improve your position. Reinforce fighting positions with sandbags or other shrapnel and blast-absorbent materials. Do not upset the natural look of the area. Do not make your position obvious by clearing away too much debris for fields of fire. Choose firing ports that are in conspicuous spots. Choose firing ports that are in inconspicuous spots.
I knew you'd catch that. I knew.
Okay, so on your part, you must be alert to your opponent's common camouflage errors. In other words, vehicle tracks, footprints, and other evidence of activity. Shine. This is what you're looking for in the enemy, okay? Shine or shadows. An unnatural or peculiar color or texture. Muzzle flash, smoke, or dust. Unnatural sounds and smells. Movement. And don't forget to use dummy positions to distract the enemy and make him reveal his position by firing at it. Okay, so this is his basic camouflage sense for the city, okay? So as you can see, it's going to take me several weeks to get through just fighting in the city. As you can see, fighting in the city is very difficult, okay, because it's an unnatural environment. Okay, and there's lots of people there. That's where the people are at. So that's why I encourage everybody, make your plan to get out of the city. Okay, you don't want to go through this. If you're going to be in the city, and I will talk about this down the road, if you're stuck in the city somehow, you absolutely need other people on your side. You cannot be alone in the city, okay?
No.
You have to sleep, you know, and while you're asleep, somebody can walk up on you. So you need enough people where you can have guards, okay, to watch after you and stuff. And as I said before, in the city, you're going to use a lot more ammunition. And ammunition is not going to be easier to get, but harder to get. Okay. Along that same lines, that's why I say, you know, choose calibers that are common government-used calibers. Like the police use 9mm, so use 9mm. The military uses 9mm and 45. 45 is okay. 9mm is okay. Some city police and some federal officers use 40 caliber. So 40 caliber is okay. But don't start getting to, don't get too much exotic stuff, okay? I mean, you can worry about, you know, the performance of a certain round and stuff like that, but for the fall of civilization, I would be more concerned with the availability of bullets instead of the performance of them, okay? Because I get like a 45 Casals or something, big old giant round, may have a lot of power and performance, but where are you going to get the bullets when everything falls apart? You know?
Right.
So, just keep those kinds of things in mind. So you can notice in the news right now that they keep agitating. They just keep stepping it up constantly. But they're goading. They want World War III. They want it.
Yes. Okay. They're going to force it. Yeah.
They want the Civil War in America too, and you can tell that they want it because why are they running Joe Biden for president? Why are they doing it?
You know, and I know that many of the invaders who are in here now are going to be deputized and made into some kind of a quasi-police force because we won't have enough police to try to control the Civil War. So they're going to use these, I think these invader replacements are going to be part of it.
Well, they're going to be part of the problem. And Antifa and BLM goes on the rampage. Listen, the invaders are already putting out videos to go squat on other people's houses and seize their property. Okay,
it's home theft. They're stealing homes. Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Back during the BLM riots, the BLM put out a thing about what their demands were, and one of their demands was white people's homes. They put that in writing. They want your homes. If you're not using your home, they want it.
That's right.
You should not leave your home to your child.
Even if you're using your home, Mitch, I believe that they're going to begin to seize occupied homes if the people are simply away for work. I think that's coming.
Okay, well, let me give you some insight into this, because I lived in Latin America, off and on, over 20 years, something like that. So I haven't sat down and counted. It was a long time. I started going down there in the 1970s and stopped in the 1990s. So a thing that's very common down there is squatting. You have squatters on land, squatters in houses. They've always done that. In Latin America, they have squatter rights. Okay. Let me just try to describe this a little bit by an anecdote, okay? So I'm flying on a little airplane going from San Jose, the capital of Costa Rica, down to Golfito, a place on the Panamanian border, okay? On the airplane was a guy from the World Wildlife Fund, okay? He was a big shot, okay?
WWF,
and,
we're flying over,
and he's looking down at all the land we're flying over, and all the jungle has been cut down, and it's just cattle pasture. And he started telling me, he says, this is a sin that just so we can have hamburgers, we are chopping all this rainforest down. And I said, excuse me, but how many cattle do you see down there? And he looked, and he says, well, I don't see any cattle down there. I says, so would you like to know why all that rainforest is cut down? And he says, sure, explain. And I said, well, because in Costa Rica, if I buy a 1,000-acre tract of jungle, if I want to keep it, I have to cut it all down because the only land I can keep is developed land. Because if I leave it in jungle and some squatter comes in and he chops down 100 acres of that land, that's his land, okay? If he goes on my land that I purchased and he chops it down, develops it, and sets himself up a little farm or ranch down there, he now owns it. I paid for it, but he owns it. I said, so everybody that owns this land, the only way they can keep the land is by destroying the rainforest. This is the effect of the squatter laws. Okay.
Interesting.
Now, did this little story to him have an impact? Yes, it did, Jeff. It did have an impact on him because he could see with his own eyes that there was no cattle there. He understood why all this rainforest was being chopped down. So the World Wildlife Fund and other environmentalists got together and pressured the Costa Rican government to change the law. And they changed the law to say this, that if you bought 1,000 acres of this jungle land and you designated it as a jungle reserve that is not going to be developed, then squatters cannot own the land. In other words, it keeps them from destroying the rainforest, and it also keeps people from going in and squatting on it and destroying the land. Okay? So Costa Rica did pass that law. And they said, and so the way it would work out is if you bought 1,000 acres of jungle land and you wanted to keep it, well, you can't, now you cannot have a cattle ranch on there. You cannot have a big banana plantation on there. You must use it as a jungle preserve. What you can do is you can build a little hotel down there and run it for an ecotourism project. That you can do. So you can put a home there for you, and you can put a little, like, hotel-like thing to bring tourists to. That you can do as a part of this jungle preserve. So,
well,
so a lot of
that's
a lot
good,
of times,
good news.
The unintended consequences of laws, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
That's how, you know, 1,000 acres of land, Mitch, that's a pretty sizable chunk of property. Hell, 100 acres of land is a pretty good piece. If you're talking about a huge cattle range in the Midwest, no. But just as a purchase for a homestead?
Let me tell you, I got divorced. I purchased 1,000 acres. I purchased 1,300 acres of jungle land. And when I got divorced, my ex-wife's attorney in Florida, she demanded that the lawyer said, oh, well, you should pay half of this property, because he's thinking like $1,000 an acre or something. He says, well, you should put this down. This is a part of the settlement. She should get half of the value of that 1,300 acres, you know.
Right.
And so he said, so how much did you pay for that? I said, well, I paid $1.80 per acre. You know, you really want to fool with that? You know, well, you know, and I showed him documents where I paid $1.80 an acre. And he just said, okay, well, never mind. You know, it just came out to chump change after all. So,
where was this piece of property? Where was the land?
It was in the mountains on the coast, the Pacific coast of Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting.
But squatters took that. They did. So my point is these people coming from Latin America, they have a squatter mentality. Mm-hmm. Then the U.S. government.
Well, you
knows
saw the video.
This.
You saw the video.
Yes. Right. They're told in Panama on their way up, they're told that they can just squat anywhere in the United States. Although they are kind of telling them to squat in blue states instead of red states, because red states tend to enforce the law more. So.
crazy.
They're coached on this stuff, Jeff.
Yes.
They're coached
well,
on
the video
to
is enough to convince me. I get it.
Yeah.
This is not good. All right. Well, thank you, Mitch. Another excellent tour, a survey of the world at the door right now. It's right here. It's not coming. It's here. It's happening. So we'll talk to you next week, and stay well. Be safe out there, okay?
Okay.
I know
you
will. All right. Thank you, Mitch. Okay, gang. We will be back tomorrow night, 21 hours. Thanks for being here. Talk to you tomorrow.